Gerscher knocks it away from Langvar. He wasn't ready. Didn't think Gerscher would be behind him and help out. And he knocked it away as Langvar held it above his head. Now Gerscher finds a crease, steps in. What a dish to Eli Johnson for the two-hand jam as Gerscher serves it up on a platter. And Johnson feasts for the dunk.
The action last night with makeup games between Beloit and Chapman on the road last night for the Trojans. The Beloit girls win, the Beloit boys win, and now a huge, huge matchup tonight in 3A boys play. Two of the top five teams in the state, combined record 27-2, and one of those losses is to the other. It's going to be a huge game we'll talk about coming up here in just a little bit. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Last night, the Beloit girls improved to 11-4 as they had a nice win on the road at Chapman, a 4A school, 50-36. Beloit was down 3-0, went on an 11-0 run, led by 8 at the end of 1, led by 8 in the second quarter. Chapman would come back with a 9-0 spurt of their own. They led by 1 at halftime. Beloit outscored Chapman 17-9 in the third, led by 7 going in the fourth. Then after a turnover, after Beloit had a rebound and up 9, and if they just keep the ball there, they're up 9 and can milk a little bit of clock. Instead, a bad outlet pass was stolen and a 3 made by Ava Locke of Chapman. You're thinking, uh-oh, that's big. That changes the things. But Ashlyn Knight came to the rescue with her first 3 of the year on the other end, the push lead right back from 6-9 and negated that turnover. So that was a pretty big play in the game. Beloit never looked back from there, and they win by 14. Addie Budke with 14 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks unofficially. I think she had more than 3 blocks. She had our block of the game for HR and Block in Beloit. She also was our co-athlete of the game, brought to you by SS Drug and Home Health, along with Ashlyn Knight. Ashlyn Knight was phenomenal last night. 11 points, a 3-pointer, as we mentioned, 9 in the second half. She had unofficially 8 rebounds and 4 steals, and it might be more than that as well. Peyton Remus chipped in with 10 points and a couple of 3-pointers. She was our SinCon of Kansas Utility Player of the Game. And Cunningham Telephone and Cable Connection, the game was Olivia Wright to Ashlyn Knight for a bucket. Cassandra Thompson just missed out on double figures with 9. So the Beloit girls, Budke with 14, Knight with 11, Remus with 10, Thompson with 9. Balanced attack. Beloit girls go on the road and beat Chapman 50-36. A really good win for Beloit. And then the boys' game, kind of similar from the standpoint of a balanced offensive attack. Chapman scored the first 4 points of the game. Beloit went on a 10-0 run, led 16-10 at the end of 1. They led 21-16. Noah Gerstner hit a 3, and then Lance Lundeen with a steal in the backcourt. A terrific kind of a behind-the-back, no-look pass to Gerstner, who had the reverse layup. In a span of 12 seconds, Beloit scored 5 quick points, and the lead went from 5-10. And that was kind of all she wrote. Beloit led by 13 at halftime, go on the win at 67-44. Chapman's a solid team. They're now 7-6. Beloit improves to 14-1 with the victory. For Beloit, Eli Johnson led the way. He was the SNS Dragon Home Health Athlete of the Game. He heard his dunk on the pass from Gerstner earlier. Johnson, 10 of his 16 in the second half. That tied a career high. Bryce Beisner with 15. Quinn Eiler with 15, 11 in the second half. Gerstner with 9 all in the first half. And it's interesting with Beloit and how they go about things offensively. Last night, it was kind of like passing the baton. In the first half, it was Gerstner with 9, Beisner with 8. In the second half, Quinn with 11 of his 15, Eli with 10 of his 16. So the Beloit is so balanced inside and out. And another dunk last night for Beloit. They've had a few of those lately with Beisner and Johnson. And Beloit wins the game last night by a final of 67-44. Utility player of the game was Quinn Eiler, brought to you by SinCon of Kansas. Bryce Beisner gets the HR block blank of the game. And the Cunningham Telephone Cable Connection of the game was Gerstner on that pass to Eli Johnson that you heard. Certainly you could throw in there the pass by Lundeen to Gerstner for the reverse layup off the steal by Lundeen. So the Beloit boys, a nice win last night. So Beloit will play tonight against Ellsworth, and we'll have those games on the radio this evening. We'll preview those matchups coming up in just a moment, but we'll throw it to Dusty now, for there was a couple other games in our area last night, and he'll go through the schedule for today, and then we will preview our matchups tonight on the radio.
The Concordia and Marysville teams were playing. On the girls' side, Marysville beat Concordia 52-32, and on the boys' side, it was Concordia over Marysville 57-45. So those are the other scores from last night. If you're ever looking for scores, you can always find those at ncksports.com for the latest. As Wade said, we do have Beloit hosting Ellsworth tonight on Kitty Country 94 on Z96.2 to the Lake. It is Lakeside at Rock Hills. Again, we'll preview those games coming up. Not a lot of other games in the area tonight. There are some teams that have the night off here this evening. Thunder Ridge at Sylvan Lucas tonight. Lincoln is at Pike Valley. Southern Cloud is hosting Stockton this evening in the Northern Plains League. And again, the Natoma-Osborne games for tonight have been canceled. So if you're planning on that, those games are not taking place here this evening. Osborne will be back at it next week on the basketball floor. And then in the Mid-Continent League, Smith Center is at TMP. So it's a look at what is going on here this evening as far as the high school games in the area. And you can find the complete schedule at ncksports.com. You want to preview?
Yeah, we'll preview our games tonight, and then we'll get to the athlete of the week. As tonight, it is a huge doubleheader this evening over in Beloit. League battle between Ellsworth and Beloit. The Beloit girls winning earlier this year, maybe their most complete defensive performance. They were outstanding in this game, and their help defense was terrific against Ellsworth, winning 45-23 back in December. But the Beloit girls know Ellsworth will be ready to go here tonight. Ellsworth comes in 7-7, a loss to Sacred Heart on Wednesday night in makeup games. Beloit now 11-4, playing their third game in 5 days. Shauna Remus on the matchup against the Bearcats.
They have some really talented guards that can really, really light it up. So, you know, we want to expose our size and make sure that we can play the game plan that we want. But Ellsworth can really hurt you, and they've really been improving here lately and played teams really close.
So Beloit and Ellsworth girls, that should be a good game. The beginning of things tonight at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:50 on Katie Country 94, katiecountry94.com, live video stream at ncksports.com with the Beloit Trojan channel. There's also winter homecoming. They'll crown the king and the queen, the prince and the princess, whatever you want to call it. That's coming up tonight between games. And then the boys' game is the feature, no doubt. And not every day you get two of the best teams in the state in the top five, according to the rankings, playing in a game that means quite a bit. It's not the end of the world if you lose this game, but certainly it's a big game for the league standings and for a league championship, possibly. It's also a big game for both teams to keep in pace in their sub-state in regards to their records. And for Beloit, they are number one in the state, according to the KBCA rankings. They have been for a while now. They're 14-1. Their only loss to a 6A, Olathe North, who's ranked 8th in 6A, by the way, in the Orange and Black Classic Championship at Colby. Beloit is undefeated in league play at 6-0. Ellsworth ranked 5th in 3A. They're 13-1. Their only loss was to Beloit back in December, 56-45. But that game was closer than the final score would indicate. And Ellsworth is 4-1 in league play. For Ellsworth to have a chance to get a share of the league title or maybe even win it outright, they have to win tonight. Beloit trying to keep that number one seed in their sub-state. And, of course, they would control things the rest of the way if they could win tonight. They still got a big matchup Tuesday at home against Southeast of Saline. They got to go to Salina Sacred Heart. So there's still some tough games on schedule for Beloit in the league, but Ellsworth beating Sacred Heart the other night gave Sacred Heart their second league loss. So if Beloit would beat Ellsworth tonight, Beloit would have a two-game lead over Sacred Heart and Ellsworth and only have three league games to play. So this could almost cement a league championship, at least a share for the Beloit boys. The Bearcats led by Will Cravens. He averages over 20 a game. He's outstanding, but it's that Ellsworth defense that's been outstanding. They've only given up 29 points a game this year. Yes, there are some teams that aren't the greatest on their schedule, but they held Southeast to 31. They held Sacred Heart to 37 on Wednesday. Here's Ryan Eilert on the matchup of the Bearcats, number one versus number five tonight.
They're a team, you know, that we've played quite a few times and it's been a battle every time. And you know, obviously they go through Cravens, and yet their role guys have always been real aggressive against us. And they're playing really good defense right now. They've held a lot of teams in the 30s and low 40s and able to pick up quite a few wins for us.
It's going to be a fun night, and I'm encouraging people. The weather is nice. You don't have an excuse tonight. You may have an excuse, but you better be a good excuse if you're not going to be there to support the Beloit Trojan girls and boys. If you live in Beloit, if you go to the school, you're tied to the school, if you're alum of the school, I don't even care how old you are, as long as you are healthy and able to get there, you don't have to worry about slipping on ice, things like that, or super cold temperatures. This is an opportunity to go up there and have a whole night of fun, hopefully for Beloit fans. You got the girls game, Beloit girls playing well. They're 11-4 now on the season. You have the winter homecoming in between between games, so that's a big deal. And then you have number one versus number five. Now, I've said this many times, rankings are overrated because Beloit and Ellsworth being number one and number five, if they don't make it to state, do the rankings mean anything? No. Does it help them for sub-state and their seedings? No. Does it help them for seeding at state? No. But rankings are all about creating excitement. As we know, when there's rankings in college basketball, high school basketball, football, whatever the case may be, it is a promotional tool. Not going to lie to you. When you can say you have number one versus number five on the radio tonight or on our live video stream. But it isn't very often that this late in the season you have two of the top five teams in the state from the same league playing for what could determine a league title. And it is conceivable that these two teams on the boys' side could meet again at state, because Ellsworth is the number one seed in their sub-state. Beloit's the number one seed in their sub-state as of now, based on their records. So it's possible they can meet a third time. Ellsworth and Beloit, Beloit's beaten Ellsworth five times in a row. Last time Ellsworth boys won was in February of 2021. But all of these matchups that Beloit's won have been pretty tight for the most part, come down to the fourth quarter. Last year, Beloit had to hit some clutch free throws in the final minute to seal the deal, and it is a battle. And Beloit's the more balanced team offensively. They're capable of scoring more points than Ellsworth, in my opinion. But Ellsworth plays really good team defense, and they have a kid that can go off for 30 on any given night. And if they get a couple of role players to pop in some threes, that can make them very difficult. They're playing with tremendous confidence. So, you know, don't rely on the radio. It's okay to have the radio. I'm not saying don't listen to us. I'm not saying don't watch the video stream tonight. But if you can get out there and pack the place, you'd be amazed at how your energy as a crowd can help a team. And it could really help tonight. So, and if you want to watch good basketball, this is an amazing opportunity to be right there in your backyard and watch two of the five best teams in the state of Kansas battle out with a lot on the line. The season's not on the line, but a lot on the line. It'll be interesting. You know, Ellsworth had to play on Wednesday night. Beloit had to play last night and had to make a long road trip back from Chapman. So you know how much energy is left for both these teams after playing two tough games here in the last few days. So it should be a lot of fun. Our coverage begins at 5:50 tonight on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Get the free KD Country 94 app on your smartphone. And also you could watch it live on the video stream via the Beloit Trojan channel through NCKSSports.com. But once again, use that as your backup plan. Get there. Pay a little bit to get in. If you haven't gone all year, make this the one game you go to. I'm telling you, go to this one, or, you know, or go to two, go to senior night. That's always good. You know, applaud the seniors and appreciate them for all the time they put in and so forth and so on. But it's going to be fun. And I know, just, you know, I'm a father of one of the kids on the team for Beloit. He gets jacked up and even more focused, energized when it's a big matchup like this. You know, some of those games where you know you're going to win going in, like, you know, Repco, unfortunately, that's been that way for Repco for the last couple of years. And there's a few other teams in the league that struggle from time to time. So this, but the crowd, let's fill the place, man. Let's fill the place. There's plenty of people to fill that big gym. Sometimes a Beloit gym is too big, and it doesn't really give you a home court advantage at all. Sometimes it's dead in there. And let's change that tonight. Let's absolutely rock the house. I am telling you, the weather's nice. Get out there. Fill the house. And by the way, get there for the girls' game. Stick around for the boys' game. And oh, by the way, even if Beloit's down with 2 minutes to go, you might not want to leave early, because recently they were down 12 with 2:22 to go against state ranked team and came back and won. Get out there, support the team, support the young people that are putting themselves out there, because it's should be a fun night. All right, Dusty has games tonight as well. Rock Hills and Lakeside. Lakeside Rock Hills fans, get out and support your teams as well.
I was
well.
Just going to say, across the board, get out there,
yes,
and support
right.
The teams. We love covering
it. Shouldn't have,
these,
it, shouldn't
yeah.
take a, it shouldn't take number one versus number five to make you go to the game, but guess what? It might very well encourage you,
yeah, exactly.
to go.
Yeah, yeah. But I would say that, you know, yes. about all the games that we do on the radio, you know, we're here, and, yes. and we you can listen on the radio, and that's why we're doing it, right? But
and we're glad and people listen, have, or yeah, we wouldn't be doing
absolutely.
The games.
Absolutely. If you have a chance to get out and support your local schools, absolutely do that. I've always believed in that, for sure. Okay, yeah. Tonight, Z96 Point Through the Lake, Rock Hills is hosting Lakeside. By the way, if you're a Lakeside fan or a Rock Hills fan, you have a schedule that was given to you before October. This says the game's at Downs, so make sure that you go into Mankato tonight, because this was changed off the original schedule to be in Mankato here this evening. So just wanted to throw that out there as well. Rock Hill's hosting Lakeside tonight in the Northern Plains League. It is a rematch in these games, as they both met in the preseason tournament. On the girls' side, Rock Hill's actually beat Lakeside 45-24 in the first meeting this season. So obviously Lakeside has a little chip on their shoulder probably, especially the way their season ended with a loss to Rock Hill's a year ago as well. So Rock Hill's, for some reason here on the girls' side, has kind of had Lakeside's number the last couple times. We'll see if that continues tonight. The Lady Grizzlies are 4-8 overall. They're 1-3 in the league. Lakeside comes in at 3-8 and 2-4. And Rock Hill, Hill's coach Nick Meisner on the girls' side, he's definitely expecting a tough rematch here tonight with the Lady Knights.
That seems like forever ago. They've changed and improved, and I'd like to think we've improved since then. And I don't expect it to be a 20-point win as well. I think it'll be a dogfight. I'm sure they want to exact revenge a little bit and get a win against us to kind of even that up.
So, again, that's Coach Nick Meisner for Rock Hills. On the girls' side here for Lakeside, Scott Germark, he's talking about the Lady Grizzlies and then the second matchup and the focus that he has on his team.
Really, we got to try to control the Semolink and Meisner girls. I mean, they're well coached. I mean, they run their offense well, and they're going to get out and be aggressive and play defense. And I think what we've seen over the year with us being a young team, you know, that's what teams try to attack us.
Again, Scott Germark there for Lakeside Girls. The Lady Knights, again, looking to get back on the winning track here. They've dropped a few in a row and trying to get things going in the right direction. Again, they are 3-8, 2-4 in the league. Rock Hill's 4-8, 1-3 on the girls' side. The boys' meeting, Lakeside and Rock Hill seem to always have tight games and hotly contested games, and that's no different here, and both coaches are expecting that tonight. In the boys' contest, Rock Hill's enters at 3-9 and 1-3 in the NPL. Lakeside 6-5 and 3-3. They jumped out to a big lead the first time the two teams played, and Lakeside held on for a 65-58 win in early December. And Knights coach Drew Dusky gave his keys to the matchup here tonight against Rock Hill's.
It's going to be a physical game in it. I mean, it's going to come down to who can limit their turnovers and who can be consistent on offense. I feel like it's going to be close. You got to keep the McDill kid from scoring a lot. You know, they've got good size inside and they're physical, and we've got to be able to try to match that physicality and try to get to the line and knock down some free throws.
That's one of the things that Coach Dusky's been preaching a couple weeks in a row here in our locker room chats, getting to the line, and when you get there, you got to make them free throws, and they'll be critical down the stretch. So that's one of his focuses for Rock Hills. Their coach, Zach Duffy, definitely expects a challenge here tonight against Lakeside again.
Another team that's really well coached, and the Cunningham kids back now, and the Remus kid on the inside, and some other really good players too. So it'll be a good challenge for us, and offensively, you've got to get some other guys involved and try to get some other scores outside of Cooper. So we're looking forward to the challenge.
Rock Hills Lakeside tonight in Mankato. You can hear the games on Z96 Through the Lake and KatieCountry94.com. We'll have pregame at 5:50 and tip off at 6 o'clock around those times for the girls. And then the boys game will follow here tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. So we'll be listening for that here this evening in high school hoops.
Once again, those games are in Mankato. So go to Downs. You won't see the games. We were heading to Chapman last night, saw this Chapman bus going on the other side of 81 North. And for a second, I'm like, did something change and I'm not aware of it? And then Cindy McCullough calls me, and she's like, the games are in Chapman tonight. She was ahead of me on the road and saw the same thing. I'm like, you know, the thing flashed in my head as well, but no, we are playing at Chapman. Hey, this is pretty cool. USD 299 Sylvan Lucas Unified has announced they will dedicate their high school gymnasium in honor of longtime administrator and coach Jude Steckline, and they're going to do that tonight. The ceremony will take place between the two varsity basketball games against Thunder Ridge. Steckline worked for 38 of his 46 years in education at USD 299, beginning back in 1984 all the way through his retirement. He was a head coach for the boys basketball team for 30 seasons, and they claimed 6 regional championships, 2 sub-state championships, and the Class 1A state title in 1996. And yeah, pretty cool stuff. Jude Steckline been a big part of the school and the community down there, and now they will dedicate the gymnasium in his honor, in the honor of Jude Steckline. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. That's definitely when I think of, you asked me to think of Sylvan schools and the athletics, and the names that come to mind, it'd be Mike Weatherman and Jude Steckline. And the football field's named after Mike. Now you got a gym named after Jude. That is cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're good.
A couple other notes here. Let me see if I can pull it up. But Jordan Escher is leaving Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to coach. Where is he going?
Oh, man. He's going somewhere east, and I don't remember it now. I remember where the other guy that's leaving is going.
Yeah, Christian Azores from Russell is going to be the head coach at Salina South. Yeah. So, you know, Russell, when they start to turn things around, their coach leaves for a better opportunity, which I don't blame the coach for doing that. He's been there actually for a few years. Russell turned some things around, so they'll have to kind of start over with a different coach there. But I'm trying to find the text that was sent to me, and that is something that we can maybe put a story on in regards to those coaching moves and changes, because Russell's not in the league anymore, but certainly Jordan Escher's done a nice job up at Concordia. So Concordia and Russell have new football coaches next year.
Yes, he's going to accept a job in Wichita. I don't know that he's even really. I don't even know that he's coaching anywhere. It's just a job in Wichita.
I thought it was Wichita. Yeah. So Jordan Escher will be leaving Concordia, go to Wichita. So there's a head coaching vacancy there at Concordia, unless they filled it internally on the boys' side of things. And then Russell is going to have a new football coach with Christian Azores, who did a nice job there with the Russell football program. He's going to take over as head coach at Salina South. Salina South struggled here for the last few years in football, so perhaps he can turn some things around there like he did in Russell. All right, we got another athlete of the week.
Yes, Dakota Kattenberg, Smith Center senior, has been named our NCKSports.com Cunningham Telepoint and Cable Basketball Athlete of the Week. She's been a mainstay for Smith Center Lady Red Athletics over the past four seasons, contributing on a long run of success in both volleyball and basketball. And this winter, she's helped lead the Lady Red to a 13-1 overall record, 6-0 mark in the Mid-Continent League so far. On Tuesday night, she led Smith Center with a 19-point, 10-rebound double-double in a 63-50 win over Hoxie, who suffered their first loss of the season. And in that game, Kattenberg also surpassed a 1,000-point mark in her career. Also made major contributions and wins over Republic County last Thursday, Plainville last Friday. And in the last three games combined, she is averaging 22 points, 9.5 rebounds, and shooting 57% from the floor. On the season, Kattenberg is putting up 19.5 points a game, 8.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 3.5 steals. She shoots 53% from the floor overall, and 31.5% from three-point land. So, again, congratulations to Dakota Kattenberg, our Athlete of the Week from NCKSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable.
Got some high school wrestling today or this weekend?
Yes, we do have that as the Phillipsburg Panther Classic is taking place today for the girls first. So it'll be Smith Center and Osborne girls competing in Phillipsburg today at the Panther Classic. And then you do have also a Smith Center duel tonight with Rossville at 6:30 on the boys' side. And then the Beloit and Osborne boys will compete in that Phillipsburg Panther Classic coming up tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock. So that's a look at what's going on as far as the local sports are concerned for the weekend in high school wrestling. And you can always find the schedules at nckssports.com.
Coming up in 30 seconds, we'll preview a showdown in Lawrence. Number 8 KU hosting number 4 Houston, plus K-State's back on the floor. And there are no more head coaching vacancies, and Bill Belichick is left out.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
We got to be good. You know, we got to be tough. We need to be skilled, tough, aggressive. They're terrific. And it's good for our league that they're terrific. You know, and we play well. We can play with anybody. But we're going to have to be turned up. And hopefully the building will be turned up, too, because it's going to be a very competitive atmosphere.
Seriously, you doubting that the building will be turned up, Bill? Come on. How long have you been at Kansas? The place will be turned up. The team will be turned up. It's a huge matchup. It's number 8 Kansas hosting number 4 Houston. Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. The game will be in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse, and that'll be pregame at 2:30 and tip-off at 3 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake. Houston 19-2 overall, 6-2 in the Big 12. KU 17-4, 5-3 in conference play. And Kansas is not a must-win, although Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks yesterday, we have him on every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency, told us it feels like a must-win, because you lose this game, you're two games back of Houston. Plus, you lost at home to Houston, and you still got to go to Houston for the final game of the regular season on March the 9th. So it is a huge game. Kyle Beiser, athletic director over at Beloit, is a big KU fan, and he was asking me before the varsity game started last night there at Chapman. He goes, "What do you think on Saturday?" And he seemed a little bit concerned, and I was like, "Come on, Kyle. I mean, dude, come on. It's Kansas at home against a team ranked higher than them. Kansas rarely loses those games. Bill Self is 13-0 when teams are ranked higher than KU, when KU is also ranked in Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse. So I'm saying that there's pretty good chance Kansas is, I don't know who's just walked in or doing what, but anyway, it's a pretty good chance Kansas is going to win, even though Houston's ranked fourth. I mean, Kansas has beaten UConn at home. They're ranked number one in the country. They've beaten Kentucky. They have also beaten Tennessee. I know that was early in the year, but Kansas beat good teams. And as Bill Self said, they're good enough to beat anybody. They're good enough to beat anybody. And they definitely can beat anybody when they're at home. Some people will joke, well, of course they can, because they get calls that go their way. Kevin McCullough, is he going to be able to be, you know, a full participant? He sat out the game on Tuesday against Oklahoma State with a bone bruise. Brian Haney said yesterday that, you know, if that was a game they had to have, he would have played. So you expect him to play. How effective he'll be, we'll find out. I would expect he'll probably be pretty effective. The place will be absolutely lit, and the team will be fired up. And Houston flat out can play. I mean, they are physical. They rebound really well. I think that's a big key in this game. Kansas is going to have to rebound the ball well to win. And Jamal Shedd is an outstanding player. If you don't know about him, watch him in the Cougars. And L.J. Cryer, transfer of Baylor, is a good shooter. This will be a tough game, no question about it. Of course it will be. Houston's ranked fourth in the country. But it's also the first time Houston has been at Allen Fieldhouse. So I think that's something, another reason why I feel pretty good Kansas is going to win. So when Kyle asked me that, I'm like, Houston's not, you know, this isn't Missouri coming in here that they've been here before. Or it's not, you know, it's not Texas he's been here, or Texas Tech before. Houston has not experienced this environment, this atmosphere. And will they be in awe? Maybe, maybe not. But I think Kansas is going to win this game. And maybe it's just blind faith, but I'm looking at the numbers and I'm looking at games where Kansas is, whether they're an underdog, which hardly ever happens at home, or they're the lower-rated team at home, whether it's a conference team or not. I didn't like their chances against UConn. Man, guess what? They found a way to win. So I think KU fans, sure they'll worry all the time about their team losing. Every fan base pretty much does that. But history says that you have nothing really to worry about coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think if I was a fan of KU that I'd be sitting here too worried about the contest. I think this is one that you get up for, and obviously you're at home, and like you said, that's the first time they're coming here, and it's like, let's make sure they know what this place is and what it means to try to come here and get a win. And I think that everybody involved will probably be up for the task.
I'm not a big fan of people saying must wins in the middle of the season or early in the season. I think it's ridiculous for the most part. But I will say that you could make a pretty good case that both KU and K-State have must wins tomorrow for different reasons. For Kansas, they are in a must win to an extent because you don't want to be two games back at Houston. You've got your tough part of your schedule coming up. KU's got to play six ranked teams in their final nine conference games. They got to go to Manhattan on Monday. And even though K-State's not ranked, that, you know, they'll get K-State's best shot. And they'll be coming off a tough, hard-fought grinder of a game against Houston tomorrow. So Kansas, it feels like almost a must-win if you want to win the conference championship. Now, it doesn't end your season if you lose or anything like that. Kansas State, meanwhile, will be in action tomorrow. They've lost three in a row. They're 14-7, going in the wrong direction, 4-4 in the Big 12. They had to Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State at 1 o'clock on ESPN+. Listen, if K-State wants to make the tournament, a win tomorrow doesn't help their chance to make the tournament. I mean, there's no doubt. It does not help them at all to make the tournament. The bad thing is if they lose, then it's a horrible loss on their resume. And they don't have much to brag about in regards to their resume. And they've lost three in a row. And you lose at Oklahoma State, who is 1-7 in conference play. You've got a lot of work to do to make the tournament.
Well, I'm going to tell you right. This is not a tournament team right now.
Oh, no,
I don't know that it has been at any point this season, to be completely honest with you. I think things have changed of what we thought they were going to be at the start of the year, and they're adjusting to that. And they just don't have the guns that they need, I don't think, to be a tournament caliber team at the moment. But if that is your dream and goal, you absolutely can't lose this game. I mean, we talked the other day about, you know, what records can get you into the tournament from the Big 12. But if you're losing these kinds of games, I mean, you're going to have to beat Kansas twice to even be thinking about it, even if you finish 10-8 in the conference, I think. Mm-hmm. And so there's just nothing. The Baylor's the only game that's there right now for this team. And that's the only one they have that, by the point of the tournament starting, that anybody's going to look at and see, say that that's a good win, that's a quality win. I'm not looking at all these quadrants and things like that. Whatever you want to do, you can. But eye test and wins that this team has and bad losses that this team has against teams that aren't outstanding. And so, absolutely, they got to win this game tomorrow if there's a dream of making the NCAA tournament. I'm pretty far from that right now in my headspace. I'm just like, let's stop the losing streak and get going back in the right direction, and then you can see what happens after that and see if they can make the improvements and turn into a team that resembles a tournament team. So, yeah, absolutely have to win the game tomorrow, if you have any thoughts of that.
So the pessimistic way of looking at this would be they barely beat Oklahoma State 2 weeks ago at home. They go to Oklahoma State. They lose this game. Oh, dear Lord, Kansas comes to town on Monday. We're looking at 5 losses in a row. That's the pessimistic way of looking at it. The optimistic way of looking at it is Bryce Thompson was hurt the other day. I don't know if he's going to play as one of the leading scorers for Oklahoma
State.
Doesn't
sound like it.
I don't think he will, the former Jayhawk. You win at Oklahoma State, and then Kansas comes off a grinder of a game, win or lose against Houston, which if you're K-State, you're probably hoping they win because they rarely lose 2 in a row. And then Kansas feeling pretty good about themselves, and the place is jacked, ready to go, and you'll have K-State fans coming out of the closet and the woodwork to pack the place, because that is the big game of the year on the home schedule, obviously, is your rival Kansas. It'll be a crazy atmosphere. And so the optimistic point of view would be you beat Oklahoma State tomorrow like you're supposed to, and then you turn around, you play Monday against the Kansas team coming off the hard-fought game against Houston. You catch Kansas at a perfect time. You play your best game of the year at home. You knock off the top 10 Jayhawks. Now all of a sudden, you've got 5 days off until you go to BYU on February 10th. And on Tuesday, we could be talking about how K-State's resurrected their season. They're 6-4 in the Big 12, and they're 16-7 overall with a marquee win to add to their resume. That's the optimistic way of looking at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That can happen, by the way.
I'm not saying it can't, but that is the optimistic way of looking. Bryce Thompson, by the way, had surgery yesterday, okay, so I think he's going to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So
that's too bad.
Yeah, but it's the ebbs and flows of the season, and you got to. I'm always one that looks at the team as it is at the moment, right? And it's just not good. But there's a chance for them to turn it right around and turn it into something that's positive, like you said.
We have lots of opportunities in the Big 12 to do that.
Definitely.
You can also get buried.
Definitely.
I will say this. I can already hear it. K-State loses tomorrow at Oklahoma State. K-State fans will be crying in their beer, talking about how they have no chance to beat Kansas Monday night. Then they'll pull off the upset, beat Kansas, and then they'll be pumping their chest Tuesday saying, I told you so. And I've seen this multiple times over the last 15 years. I don't care if K-State loses by 50 tomorrow. That'll be a tough game Monday night in Manhattan for Kansas. K-State will bring it. The place will be energized. And Brian Haney mentioned yesterday that for a lot of teams in the Big 12, KU coming to your place is like the Super Bowl for these teams. And I think that is true because you are the hunted. Kansas is the perennial power. It's no different than the Yankees when they come to town. And, you know, Kauffman Stadium is sold out when the Yankees come to town, but they play somebody else that's half empty, right? And these other conference games aren't always sold out, but KU comes to town, the place is packed, and what a great atmosphere. It's like, well, why can't you have that every home game? Why is it just Kansas? And you see that, you know, if the Warriors come to town, the NBA or so forth and so on, or you want to see a star player. Obviously, the Chiefs get everybody's best shot now. They're the cream of the crop in the National Football League. Kansas has been atop the Big 12 for quite some time. And I'm telling you, I don't care what happens tomorrow at Oklahoma State. I don't care what happens between Kansas and Houston tomorrow either. That game on Monday will be a rock fight. It will be a dog fight. It'll be a battle. I would be surprised if either team, you know, has a wins by a ton. And I can already hear Monday morning where I'll get all kinds of texts and people will be talking about how in the world do you think K-State can beat KU when I say it Monday. Be prepared. I will say this Monday, no matter what happens tomorrow, that Kansas State has a chance to beat KU, and people will say I'm crazy. And you know how many times I've been told I've been crazy by K-State fans when K-State has played KU at home? You know how many times I've been right? More often right than wrong when people, it's just like automatically when all the fan base, not all, but most of the fan base, or at least the fans I know that wear the purple, they immediately tell me that we have no chance of beating KU. And I'm like, you don't watch every KU game, okay? I watch a lot of K-State. I watch a lot of KU. I know what both teams are capable of. I watch both teams. I don't watch just K-State. I don't watch just KU. I watch both. And there are K-State teams that are worse than this one that have beaten Kansas in Manhattan.
There's no doubt about that.
Bruce Weber's unit has pulled some off. Jim Woldridge, for crying out loud, went into Lawrence and won a game that nobody ever thought was going to happen. So if you're going to sit here and tell me, we're horrible. No, this team isn't as bad as some of Bruce Weber's teams. And yet they would be right there with Kansas, a chance to pull off an upset. Yeah, sometimes they got run out of the building, but usually that was in Lawrence. So don't give me this, we have no chance. Stop it. Don't even bother me with it Monday. Because I'm going to tell you, no matter what happens tomorrow, if KU wins or loses against Houston, whether K-State wins or loses Oklahoma State, unless half the team gets hurt for K-State, Monday night will be a battle between the Jayhawks and K-State. Think about this. Whether K-State wins or loses tomorrow, they more than likely have to win Monday. Maybe not have to, but really need to build their resume to make this tournament. They need a top 10 win. They need a few of them. And Kansas is as good as any to get. So I know on paper it looks like KU would beat Kansas State. Well, you know what? Kansas went to Central Florida. Here's what K-State fans immediately will forget Monday morning. Trust me. Mark my words. Lock it down. Guaranteed. Kansas beats Houston. Who cares if K-State wins or not at Oklahoma State, right? It doesn't really matter. From the standpoint of what you think about K-State's chances. Do you think K-State fans tomorrow, if K-State wins by 20 against Oklahoma State, it's going to make them feel better about beating Kansas? No. People of K-State fans have already decided right now, we ain't beating Kansas Monday night. I already know it. So Kansas goes out and looks great, and they beat Houston by, say, 10 points or blows them out, plays terrific. Monday, you're going to hear it. I got no chance. Can't beat Kansas. Can't do this. Can't do that. Whatever the case may be. And you are against the ropes. You got to come out fighting. It's a chance to turn around your season with the opportunity to beat your in-state rival. And I've seen it happen before, and it can easily happen again Monday. So don't tell me they have no chance of winning. You always have a chance of winning. And here's the thing that K-State fans, Monday, they will say this. I will hear this. I will hear it even this weekend. I've already started to hear it. Here's what K-State fans don't know. They don't pay attention to every game that KU plays like you and I do for our job. I watch KU and K-State, both teams. I know both have had some, you know, not good losses. I've seen them both play well. Kansas certainly has had the tougher schedule, no question about that. They have more ranked wins and so forth and so on. But K-State fans that are freaking out are going to freak out Monday and saying, we don't have a chance to beat Kansas. Oh, we're, especially if they lose Oklahoma State. Oh, dear God, we're awful. We've lost four in a row. We have no chance. I don't even know I'm going to waste my money going to the game. I'll sell my ticket to a KU fan. I don't want to go there and be embarrassed. You've heard these things, haven't you?
There are plenty of people dumping tickets
already
right now, too.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you that's a mistake, because then you're going to miss the court-storming opportunity if you beat Kansas Monday night. I'm not predicting it. Some years I have, and I've been told I'm an idiot, and I've been term proven right, and then those people disappear and don't tell me I was right. That's okay. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm right. But what K-State fans don't understand is Kansas isn't all that this year. Kansas is not loaded. They're not blowing out teams. Do they have really good wins? Yes, they do. But after their top four players, there's a drop-off. Now, Furphy's played pretty well. If McCullough's not 100%, you got a better chance to beat Kansas. The top kid off the bench is a freshman who's been inconsistent this year. And after that, you got inconsistency all over the place off the bench. And, oh, by the way, K-State fan probably isn't aware of this, but Kansas, you think you can't beat Kansas at home in Manhattan in a rivalry game? Kansas didn't win in Morgantown. Kansas didn't win in Orlando against Central Florida. So you think K-State has no chance of beating KU at home when KU hasn't beaten anybody of substance on the road in the Big 12 yet? They won at Oklahoma State. They lost in Ames. They lost in Orlando. They lost in Morgantown. They lost to a 6-11 West Virginia team and gave up 91 points. If West Virginia can beat Kansas, why in the hell can't K-State?
Yeah. I'm not one that buys into that, like that K-State can't win a game against KU no matter what the year is. I mean, yeah. If you sit there and watched Bruce Weber's team beat them, and like you said, with Jim Woodward going into Lawrence and winning, like I don't look at the records. Sometimes trends would make you believe they're probably not going to get the win. Now, if they lose their fourth in a row, am I feeling confident, like overly confident about beating KU? No. Do I think they can't beat KU? Also, no. Like, they can beat KU. Like, if you play the right game and do the right things and execute and get them in any kind of tough spot where they feel uncomfortable, you can win that game. And we've seen it enough times. You know, we haven't seen it as consistent as you'd like as a K-State fan, probably, but you've seen it enough times to not just sit here and say, going into the game, nah, they're out. They don't have a chance. They're not going to win it. And, you know, I do want to see them, show some things as far as turning the corner and showing some improvement, but all that stuff doesn't really make a difference. As you were talking about it before you even brought it up, that you'll miss an opportunity for a court storming, I'm like, I'm interested to see if they win, if they do storm, because remember what Jerome Tang did last year? True. He jumped up on the scorers table and said, I'll give you one court storming from now on, expect to win. And so I'm wondering if they would listen to him on that or not. They've listened to him on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested if they do pull that off on Monday to see if they listen to him on that part.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if I was a student, I'd want to storm the court.
Yeah.
We're an underdog. It'd be probably a significant underdog. We're not ranked. We may be coming off a loss to Oklahoma State, and I'm really feeling bad about things. And then I actually was one of those fans that didn't sell my tickets or give them away to somebody and took a chance that my team would win. So why not storm the court as long as nobody decks me? Yeah, I love Jerome Tang and all.
That was going through my mind before he even brought it up. Yeah. Like, I wonder if they'll storm.
I think they will. I mean, if you beat Kansas, how do you not storm, especially if you're a significant underdog? So, different reasons why Kansas and Kansas State need to win tomorrow. KU to really give themselves a bona fide chance to win the Big 12, because they'll dig themselves a bit of a hole if they lose at home in Houston tomorrow. K-State really, really is up against it. They don't have a lot to gain by beating Oklahoma State, but they have a lot to lose by losing Oklahoma State in regards to being on the bubble or getting into the NCAA tournament this year. Also coming up tomorrow, American Athletic Conference, Wichita State having a tough year under first-year head coach Paul Mills, 1-7. It'll take time for him to turn some things around, so give him time. Patience is a virtue, but many people don't have it. Wichita State's 9-12, 1-7. They'll take on Memphis, who's struggling lately. Memphis is 4-4 in conference play. About 3 weeks ago, they ranked top 10.
Uh-huh.
And that's at noon tip-off on CBS. K-State women, ranked number 2 in the country, hope to respond from their first conference loss this season. They're 20-2, 9-1 in the Big 12. They have a rematch with number 12 Texas in Austin on Sunday at 1 o'clock on FS1. So they got some regular television to watch that on Sunday, 1 o'clock. You have no NFL games to watch, so a chance to watch the K-State women against Texas. I would say K-State's going to have a tough time in that one without Aoka Lee, but we shall see. KU women are 11-10, 4-6 in the Big 12. They host TCU, who's 2-7 in the Big 12. TCU apparently now has enough players to play games, so that's good. The final NFL head coaching vacancy for the moment was filled yesterday, as the Washington Commanders are bringing in Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Talk about a traitor. Quinn has been with the Cowboys the past 3 seasons. Quinn has been a head coach before, and a little over 5 seasons with the Falcons. He compiled a 43-42 record. Of course, you remember the Super Bowl when they were up 28-3, the Falcons, over the Patriots, and then blew it and lost in overtime. He should have a Super Bowl ring. He'd probably still be a head coach today had they won that game.
Yeah.
Interesting to me. I hear this a lot, and, well, not a lot, but I've heard it. How can Sean Snyder be coaching on KU's football staff, which I believe he's not going to coach next year.
He's not.
But he did for 1 year. How can Sean Snyder do this? That's just, wait a minute, you didn't want Sean Snyder. You couldn't wait to get rid of him. So why do you care if he coaches at Kansas or anywhere? Okay, you're not employing him, so he has a right to go wherever. Well, it's just wrong to go to the in-state rival. And I'm like, listen, if somebody's willing to pay you a full-time salary and you need a job, I don't care if you graduated from Kansas, graduated from Missouri, Kansas State, Duke, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Colorado. It doesn't matter where you graduated from. It does not matter. What matters is you find a job and they'll pay you for it. And if that means you're a K-State alum working for the KU ticket office, you take the damn job. If you're a KU alum and you got to work for Kansas State, you take the job, okay? Especially if it's the only one out there. And so the reason I bring this up is the biggest rival for the Dallas Cowboys has always been who? The Washington Redskins, who are now the Washington Commanders. And of all the coaches the Commanders get, they get the guy from their rival, the Dallas Cowboys, their defensive coordinator. Isn't that interesting? I don't see that a lot in professional sports, you know? I mean, obviously, so like Durant go to from the Thunder to the Warriors in a free agency. But in regards to the coaching situations like this, you don't see it too much. And so a rival, that'd be like the Broncos hiring Eric Bieniemy, you know, last year, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it would. Yeah.
Got something? You look on your phone, did you?
I had something I had to take care of there. No, it's nothing for this.
So Bill Belichick.
But yeah, it is, it's crazy to see the somebody from the Cowboys go to Washington, right? Whether that's a free agent coach, whatever it is.
Bill Belichick will not be head coach in the NFL next year unless something crazy happens here in the near future. So he will sit out a year or be forced to sit out a year. Or is he technically able to stay on as a consultant with the Patriots, which I'm sure they would let him do that. But that's
how
they
probably could.
When they push people out, they kind of like, here, by the way, I have a consultant gig. We'll pay you money to just hang around every once in a while.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Pete Carroll didn't get a job either. You know, I thought Pete would be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, they did say that he was going to do something within the Seahawks.
Yeah, they did.
Structure, but
somebody could
have got a job. He could have done that.
Right? Could have.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll.
I think he was kind of like, I'm probably not going to get a job.
Pete Carroll would be okay on television if he was doing something in studio. I think he'd be good. He has a lot of energy. He acts way younger than his age. He's 72. Mm-hmm. Belichick, I think, 71. Belichick looks 20 years older than Carroll. And Carroll's actually slightly
older. He acts 20 years older.
Yes, he does.
Like that curmudgeon identity, right?
we're on the Cincinnati. All right, Bill. Gotcha. I still think if you had a few beers with Bill Belichick, I think it'd be absolutely fantastic and fascinating. I truly mean that. I'm not being
facetious. For sure.
I think it would be awesome. I think he'd be a pretty cool dude to hang out with and hear all kinds of stories. I really, truly do. If you could have him loosen up, know he wasn't being recorded, know you're not part of the media, I think it'd be pretty dang
entertaining. That's the main part. You're not part of the media.
That's important. No question about it. All right, tonight we got the games on Z96.3 The Lake. Rock Hills hosting the Lakeside Knights in Mankato. Girls and boys doubleheader. And then on Kitty Country 94, kittycountry94.com. Live video stream, ncksports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel. Big league doubleheader, Ellsworth in Beloit take on the Trojans. And the boys game, two of the top teams in the state. Beloit ranked number one, Ellsworth ranked number five. Both only have one loss, and the one loss for Ellsworth was to Beloit earlier in the year. So get out there, support the teams wherever they may be. Support your young student-athletes, girls and boys, whatever their records are. Get out there, support them. Be loud. Don't be too mean to the refs. And then enjoy, whether it's homecoming or if there's fundraisers. And, you know, sports is a big thing in small communities. There's no doubt about it. And if it wasn't a big deal, then we wouldn't even have games on the radio.
No.
We wouldn't have video streams and this and that. So it's a big deal. And so get out there, support the teams. The weather's going to be pretty nice. So you should probably get hopefully to your destination safely. And then you can maybe sleep in or recover tomorrow morning. How's that? Have a great weekend, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.